Okay, we're going to start in about 1 minute. Yeah. All right. Please pass the room. Yes, it will. Okay, everyone. Welcome, of course, to the Trinity Regeneration Environment and Health and Wellbeing Committee. It's now just gone to 30, so we're going to start. So, item one, receive apologies.
Thank you, Chairman. We've received apologies from Councillor Brady and Councillor Hudson.
Item two, declarations of interest. Anybody got? You've all seen the agenda. Item number three, to consider any urgent business brought forward. Number 12. Item number four, to agree the public minutes of the meeting held on the 26th of January. I will propose them. If I can have a second, please. Thank you. So we'll make a vote on that. Those four, those minutes. Those just for the sake of it, just those against. And abstentions. Okay, item number five. I'll let this gentleman introduce himself. Quite a few people know him anyway. So, Thomas Bostock, Development Partnership Manager from Beat the Cold. So, it's your turn.
Yes, thank you very much, and thank you for having me along today. I've got a presentation in preparation to talk about the services of Beat the Cold. And here to answer any questions as well from the previous meeting and today. Thank you. So I do believe a lot of you are aware of our support mechanisms. So just following on from the last meeting, we offer energy advice to East Staffordshire residents and have them for a number of time now. We are a fuel poverty charity with long-standing history over two decades, and we've really been instrumental to help and support people within Stoke-on-Trent and Staffordshire for a number of time now. Some really good help and support to all residents across East Staffordshire, in particular to help and support anyone with fuel poverty, ill health and the most vulnerable. I think we all know as well, just obviously how pertinent our services are right now, unfortunately, with the energy crisis. And when we look at the national NEA statistics, that last year there was 4 million households in fuel poverty, probably looking at 6.5 in April with the price cap increase, and unfortunately it could be rising anywhere between 8.5 and 9 million by the end of the year, if a typical bill can or is predicted to increase to 3,000, unfortunately, with what's going on right now. Some of the support elements that we help residents with in terms of the holistic approach is really around support. So it's curative support as well as trying to be preventative. When we do speak to residents, whether that be over the phone or face-to-face during a home visit, we really look to assist them as best as possible. So we've got a great recognition across Staffordshire and Stoke-on-Trent, really going over and above for the residents. So looking at income maximisation for them, so looking at the benefits they may be able to apply for, assisting them with referrals to other companies, so Southwest Water, Severn Trent for the big difference, and really assisting them with energy advice in terms of behavioural change and inputting best behaviour to assist them during this difficult time that we find ourselves in. Also, when conducting the appointment with the individual, with the resident, because of our long-standing relationship with Staffordshire County Council, we've got the Staffordshire Warmer Homes, which we again were instrumental in terms of setting up over the last few years and bringing in for East Staffs and Staffordshire residents, looking at funding via the Eco and Green Home Grants, where we run the flex applications and also the intermediary between then getting the help and support between us and Eon, offering that wraparound service. So anyone that's able to benefit from the scheme, their details will also be passed to us to for us to then offer that wraparound holistic help and support, where again we talk about best advice and that education piece moving forward. So in particular, looking at measures such as new boilers, insulation, fabric first approach, I think is really, really important. When we look at some of the data as well, so this is from the last quarter for East Staffs, some of these values speak for themselves. In terms of how many households we've been able to help and support, referrals to other partners that we work alongside, so as I mentioned, warm home discounts, people have been able to benefit from that if they weren't already. Liaising Western Power to get people on the priority services register is really important when you're vulnerable people who need access to electrical equipment, medicine, that if there was a power cut, they still have access to that support, as well as, you know, tower switching, really offering that whole holistic help and support. And the numbers on there are, you know, fantastic. Well, not fantastic, that's the wrong word to use. Just goes to show the extent of support we've been able to offer just over the last 3 months. And in particular as well, we helped Staffordshire County Council with the pressure scheme. So we've referred 350 East Staffs residents for that. That's where individuals can receive a voucher up to £350 to help and support them during this difficult time. So that's from the 1st of December up until 24th of March. I believe as well there was a question on the last meeting in terms of funding, and the question that rose was the figure around 4,000 with the capped word. It's worth noting that I'm quite new to role, being in position for 8 weeks now, so this is a relatively new entity to me. But my predecessor decided to use that word, so if for any reason people needed help and support, they will still get help from us. We would never turn anyone away. You know, as you know, we've worked closely with these staffs really for the last 15 years, to the best of my knowledge, offering that help and support even without funding. So we will always endeavour to do what's right by that client, by that resident. And we are able to call upon other income funding. So, for example, we also work with people in State Trust, Staffordshire Council, as I mentioned earlier, Western Power, during by the Warm Homes Fund, which again, we're instrumental when we do get funding. So we have different funding pots that we can utilise to offer the best support and advice for our residents, as well as that funding that you've got that you are now helping us with. And again, some of the other partners that we work with, yes, I'm going to speak volumes, very proud to work with these staffs. We work with 7 out of the 8 districts across Staffs County Council, helping them support them with their energy advice and working very closely in terms of partner referrals, Midlands Partner, Midlands Foundation Trust, the University of Midlands, working closely with primary care. So you can see that we really are embedded to work in collaboratively with people across East Staffordshire and Staffs County Council. Again, our contact details, how people can contact us and reach out moving forward. There's inquiries. A helpline is from Monday to Friday, and other avenues to contact through East Staffs website. And they will then go into our inquiries, our inbox on our main CRM database, and they will then get answered imminently. So again, thank you for having me along today, and more than happy to answer any questions you've got.
Councillor Locke.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you very much for a very informative presentation. I
may have missed this at the beginning. You were talking about the percentage of properties that were heading into fuel poverty. It seems to show that about a third will be heading into fuel poverty come the autumn. I was just wondering, were those national statistics, Staffordshire statistics or ESDC related? I'm trying to get a feel for the size of the problem in this area going forward.
National related.
Do you have any feeling for how different the SBC areas?
I don't have any figures on their side, unfortunately, but I can look into that and more than happy to share them with you afterwards.
Councillor Clark, and then Councillor McGarry, and then Councillor Husek.
Thank you for the presentation. So one of the things you mentioned there, you have the slide on the funding and where it came from. Could you go into a bit more detail in how the partnership that ESBC has works with yourselves and how that differs from the other local authorities in the area, if it does at all?
So each district borough council pays us an amount per annum for our services. The amounts do differ, but all local authorities get the same help and support from us. It's not tailored in terms of the income we get. Obviously, the more income, the better for us as a charity, for us to be able to function as best as possible. But in essence, we will use, like I said, an amalgamation of all funding to call upon to offer the best support for all residents.
Can I ask a follow-up to that?
Yeah.
So, as a follow-up then, how does ESBC's proportion of that funding compare to the other local authorities? And does it put any differences in resources that you are able to provide and the service you're able to provide because of that funding?
At the moment, because of the other funding that we've got, it's the same support. And when we look at them comparatively across other local authorities, it is a more reduced amount to what other local authorities are paying us. Without giving, I can't give too much exact figures. I don't have them on me right now, but we're very grateful that you have started to fund us, which is great. But it is one of the smaller amounts compared to other local authorities.
So the county seemed to have a lot of county.
Yes, yeah.
So, Councillor McGarry.
Thank you, Chair. That was a really informative presentation. Thank you for that. My only problem was the presentation wasn't being shown online, so we were stuck on page one. So is there any chance that you could forward those slides on us so that we can see those statistics in more detail, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Apologies for that. I thought we were sharing the screen and then you'd see them. So absolutely, this can be shared with everybody afterwards.
Yeah, the screen was being shared, but it was stuck on the first page.
Technology.
Yeah.
So I've got Councillor Hussein.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Tom, and especially what you are doing and your organisation doing this one in this time of weathering the storm. Thank you. Hats off to you. But my specific question, you already answered to Councillor Sue McGree, it has asked you whether you can share the slides now. It will be really useful if we can get. Specifically, can I just ask through Chair, to you, Chair, that is there any chance you can send us any more info regarding that an ordinary citizen of the residence can, how they can easily apply to those grants. I remember a few days ago, one of my colleagues, Alison, Councillor Alison Legg, mentioned about one home grants. So they're £140, I think, per household or something. And small little those helps, how they can qualify. Could you please advise on small with the specific links as well so that they can apply easily? And we, the councillors, are more than ready to help those residents as well at the centre. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, the warm home discount, I believe you're alluding to. With that, that's only that's dictated by the energy provider. So they will have throughout the year a window where their customers can apply for warm home discount. So unfortunately, it's not a link that we can send out and that you'll be able to use throughout the year. It is really dictated to by from the energy provider, and when they sometimes open that window of opportunity to apply for the one home discount. And it's really aimed at people on excessive benefits or low income. I would just encourage the residents of different departments to inquire with whoever their energy provider is as soon as possible and to see when they are opening that window. Unfortunately, without naming names, there are certain providers that only open it for 7 days, which is not very fair in my opinion. The bigger providers may open it for 2 to 3 months. But as I said, there are some providers that actually only open for a week window, which is a real shame because ultimately there's many people that are not getting the help and support that they should be.
Okay.
Councillor Grover.
Thank you for the presentation and for the slides I just received. Thanks very much for that. Could you just elaborate a bit more on the kind of service that you offer in terms of is it service just for people that are in fuel poverty that can't afford to pay bills? Do you assist with repairs if people have got issues with repairs to heating systems? I can see from the slides that you have large cupboard lighting, for example, boilers and soft insulation and stuff like that. But are there ways in which you can assist residents that need repairs to heating systems as well?
Absolutely. An individual was to contact us, and there's maybe potentially smaller measures that they need. We do have partners and other organisations that we were planning to work with. They can instill that, in particular E.ON or via some of the government schemes, local authority delivery schemes. We may be able to look at other sources of support for them where they're not external water installation or SRC columns, but they could be. And new windows and doors. So there are certain schemes that we will have access to that they can call upon for smaller measures and not just the big. And absolutely, our services are open to everybody. In particular, we try and help and support people who are most vulnerable. So that's maybe the elderly or people low income or people with families. But I think now that more than ever, again, with the situation we find ourselves in, it's so important that everybody knows they can contact us and reach out to get that help and support. It's really, again, it goes back to that education piece. So, yeah, we want to try and help if we can with financial support, but it's really around that education and energy advice, and that can be applicable to all.
Thank you. Just on Councillor Burton's point, it's regarding boilers. I do know that they are ridiculously expensive depending on which one you go for and so on. I mean, if you go for the basic, it may not heat the home as much as what it should do. And then it tends to then break down sooner. So what happens regarding that sort of thing? Do you put the bare minimum in? Or as Councillor Grover pointed out, regarding, do you repair?
Again, it's really rather buying through E.ON in terms of the Staffordshire Warm My Home scheme. So they will, again, decide the best course of action or the best point potentially to look at. It's not something that the calls can...
No, I get that. I really get that.
But E.ON and the other providers, I believe, will always try to put in the best boiler as possible with the funding they can call upon. Again, I'll look at the whole makeup of the household as well. So the installation as well as the boiler, and because of the local authority delivery scheme by the Green Home Grant and the eco measures, they sometimes call upon different pots, which then gives that the whole broader approach to offer that resident the best and the most warmest home possible.
It's just that sometimes when you repair, you know, within 6 months, you need to go out again. It's just one of those things, isn't it? But E.ON should be able to sort that sort of thing out. Thank you for that. Councillor Legg.
Thank you, Chair. Just what I wanted to ask about was renewables. Do you do anything to help those people who want to use renewable energy? And my next question was, anybody can apply for the Warm Homes Grant, and British Gas, theirs is still open. anybody on a benefit, low income, all they need is their account number for the gas and electric, and it's up to them which they put the money on they receive. Thank you.
Yeah, so the next scheme, which Staffordshire Council have currently got with MEH, that's Midlands Energy Hub, is the Sustainable World Competition. So that's the Local Authority Delivery Scheme, Phase 3, which they are looking to instil a lot of insulation, fabric first, and renewables, so air source heat pumps, as you rightly said. They are looking to try and get away from gas, gas that's heated, because going towards sustainable moving forward in carbon zero, which I think is very important to do so. And what was the question, sorry, about the warm home discount?
No, it was just a comment to say British Gas was still open. As long as you knew your account number and you're on a low income or benefits, you're eligible.
Yes, thank you. Yes, so I do believe, I think Eon, I've closed theirs now, but it's just really worth the resident inquiring as soon as possible. And it should have there as well, potentially when that window may be open again. So they can then diarise it to make sure that we don't miss out on that potential funding and support moving forward. Because again, it has to be client-led by that resident. They have to do it themselves. When they call us, we can obviously make them aware of it and support them. If the window of opportunity is open at that point, then we will do that for them. But really, I think to get the message out to the mass to help as many people as possible, it would be just to be vigilant and to try and make sure that they may be aware of when that window of opportunity is open. Yeah.
Councillor Walker.
Yeah, thank you for your presentations. I'll try not to be sort of say things that I'm not trying to commit you to things that you don't want to say. But I think initially when we first started to hear about this, because I found it interesting, you said that one of the things you said that now we've started to pay. One of the things is because of the increase in demand for, because of the energy crisis, that you could no longer offer some of the services to certain authorities across Staffordshire, and now you say we're now starting to pay. My understanding is there's £4,000 being given to a telephone helpline, which is capped, and then 30 home visits. Why do you think in the current crisis that's coming, will those 30 home visits be enough? Because there was suggesting on the radio this morning, before the end of the year, there's going to be another 1.3 million people going into absolute poverty, and 500,000 of them they're predicted to be children. I mean, obviously that's national. I mean, the current figures, last time we looked on, the House of Commons Library, there's just over 9,000 people on universal credits in East Staffordshire, and 7,000 of those are in work. So, with all that in mind, you know, will those 30 home visits be enough? What happens when that money runs out? Perhaps you might not be able to answer that question for the telephone outlines. And the other thing is, what happens, what advice do you give, or what do you, because we're hearing from some of the voluntary services across, certainly across Burton, that families with prepayment meters, it's common practice now for them to ring these voluntary services up saying they've got their money left to put on the prepayment meters. How do you deal with that sort of thing when you come across it?
It's a really difficult and challenging time for many, especially the cohort of residents that you mentioned there, Councillor Walker. We will, through one of the schemes that I mentioned earlier, the winter pressure scheme, so that's where people on prepayment meters and credit meters were able to access funding or a voucher of up to £350, which was something that we've been able to distribute and access for residents of East Staffordshire and the whole of Staffordshire County Council. As I mentioned, we referred over 350 in that short period of time, which is great. We've been able to offer help and support. residents are also able to make contact with their energy provider and let them know about their scenario that they're in. If unfortunately they don't have funding, the energy provider as well may be able to apply further credits to their account if they haven't unfortunately got any money, or they've maybe utilised their vouchers already. So that's another support element they can call upon. Going back to your original question of funding, as I said, I'm not sure why we use the word caps. So I moved to role myself and I didn't put the proposal together. It's more of a costing of the energy advice service that we offer by the telephone service. As you know, we will continue to offer help and support people contact us. It's really, I think, without funding, then we probably have to ask that local authority to not criticise our support mechanisms. However, if an East Sussex resident was to come across our services, then absolutely we're there to offer that help and support, and we'll continue to do so. But we probably just wouldn't be allowed to actively, or that local authority wouldn't actively be able to provide our services if we didn't ask them. And in terms of the home visits, again, I'm kind of speaking just from what I hear from the team, but before COVID, Beat the Cold would conduct most of their support face-to-face and in the household of the client. However, over the last 2 years, we've been able to adapt and conduct more telephone service, and we've actually found, as a charity, we've been able to reach, as I'm sure you can imagine, a lot more residents. So our numbers are massively increased over the last 2 years compared to the 2 years previous. We'll be able to help support, which is a real advantage, which is great. Now, if we feel that an individual is particularly vulnerable, or they request us to conduct a home visit, or we're particularly worried about them, then absolutely we will go in and see them face to face. The team themselves aren't aware of how many home visits these staff have had. It's something that I and the other manager will be keeping an eye on, looking at from a reporting side. But the team themselves aren't made aware of, you know, ESTAS have utilised their full 10-15. Because I think at the moment, on the last proposal, there was actually mentioned 10 home visits, but I think there may be an opportunity to fund more moving forward. However, we're really client-led, you know, what's best for that resident. And we'll always act on their best behalf in that respect. But if we don't have further funding and we still need to conduct more home visits, then so be it. Especially while we have funding to resources to call upon to offer that really good support for East Sussex residents.
Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Mark.
Thank you, Chair. And John, excellent job. I agree with Councillor Walker to a lot on what he said. I mean, Councillor Walker and I only usually agree on football, but I think this is something we've got to do. In all seriousness, you can see that the problem is going to increase as the year goes on. And I think it's something that we as a council have got to keep our eyes on. We've got to be realistic about the funding, and we've got to look to make sure that we don't short-fund your organisation or the people in our borough. So I think it's something we've got to keep an eye on, but thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Okay. Anyone else? No?
I just think on that note as well, you don't pay the money as an investment, but if you can look to the social return on investment as well, you can help one resident with facility eco measures or help and support around the household, vouchers, the best energy advice. It really would be astronomical in terms of the return on investment if you wanted to look at it in that perspective. We really do make a massive impact in making a big difference to people. And then when we apply it to the number of people we've been able to help support, it really hopefully gives you peace of mind that the residents all get some really good help and support.
Councillor Houston.
Thank you, Chair. I just would like to echo Councillor Barco. Tom, you need money and you deserve our support as well as a council.
Say no to that, sir.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Doesn't look like anyone else has got their hand up. So thank you very much for that. And we do appreciate the fact the work that you do. and you're welcome to come again. If we could have a yearly update at least.
I'd be happy to come back on an annual basis and provide that support.
If you could share the slides for Councillor McGarry and everyone that's on the internet.
That's been done, Chair.
It's already been done.
It's already been done.
Okay, so that's brilliant. Thank you very much. And feel free to go. I know that you want to go. So. Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you. To come back and then we'll carry on with the agenda.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Okay to continue, Councillor Hussain, while you're having your refreshments. Okay, so item number 6 on the agenda, the updates on the health and care overview scrutiny. Councillor Flipper.
We had a meeting on the 15th of March. Chairman was there as well. And gave an update on what was happening here. I think the main items were Wally's Quarry, which you'll all have seen on the news, and the big thing. There's an update from what's going on from the health aspect of that to the committee, and that was noted. I think the bulk of it, and I spoke to the chairman of the county health screening committee afterwards, and he said it went on again. It was the transformation programme, which is the difficult decision to talk to you before. And I think the one thing that stuck in my mind was that they'd had about 700 replies in total, and some of them had only had 12. And the population of Stoke-on-Trent and Staffordshire is about 1.25, if not 1.3 million people. So just have 700. Either people aren't interested or they've not been reaching people. So we're just keeping an eye on what's going on. And where there's been more involvement, because it's a very long and tortuous process, which is basically, if you're not careful, it will bore the public to death. But there will be some difficult decisions, which I did bring to you before, so we'll just keep an eye on that. There was a report about case rates on COVID, which is more about the statistics and the demographics, and don't want to draw you to death with that, but one of the things I noticed, and the vaccination rates, you'll know about the fourth vaccination coming out to over 75s and those who are vulnerable. The vaccination rates are up, and I suppose the advice is be wary still, and keep an eye on where we are with a whole host of things on COVID. The other bit that was brought to us was a performance overview of the integrated care system, and I think this is one that we do need to keep an eye on in the future, because social care and health, if the NHS bleeding on it, social care tends to get forgotten. And, you know, and I've noticed that there is a project that's going on in New Toxity, and that they have bigger budgets than local government. And I've spoken to other people around the country as well, Chairman, and it seems that the NHS has bigger budgets than us. And if we're not very careful, they'll say that they've told you, and they will have put something out there, looks very glossy. Whereas with local government, you tend to go out there and talk to the people you represent, staff that you've got, the social workers do that, and you've got some, and you try and lead people through the system. So there's an awful lot to get into this integrated care system, but part of it is, and I think the Etoxeter pilot project, and they had a meeting on Tuesday, which I wasn't able to attend. They're beginning to realise up there, and certainly David Atherton does as the GP and the chair of the clinical commissioning group, that there are ways that the voluntary sector and the services that borough councils offer can help keep people out of the clutches of the, if that's the word, of the NHS by just helping, particularly around steering them through the system, providing things that will improve the mental health and well-being and advice. So there's a group of people around the table at the moment, but I just get the impression that it's got to do a little bit more, and it always will be the problem, this tussle between the centre and local. You know, the closer the decision is made to where the actual effect is held, received, is more often the better decision. But the centre always worries that you're going to spend more money than they're going to allocate for that particular thing. So I think I can see that the usual tensions arise. District and borough updates was pretty well the usual stuff. I think that was about it, Chairman. Have I covered it?
Just one thing up for me at the meeting. I was disappointed, if I'm honest, with the sort of reaching certain communities. I.e. traveller communities, and maybe with also communities that maybe don't have English as their first language. I think I was disappointed with that. I know it's ongoing, but I think, you know, they need to do a lot more, I think.
I think the other bit is that they produced sheets on the performance overview, and they were so small at the time that you couldn't read it. And all I can say, there was very little green on it, and only red.
I think what I will do, just for everyone as well, I'm not sure whether I'll get Andrea to share that information. Because I think we should all see that information. As it's not just me being a chair, but I think everyone should see.
Yeah.
Okay. Councillor Hussain.
Thank you, Chair. While one is too many, and I must sadly share that it's a national picture. Yesterday was COVID death was 240 in this country, and today is 184. So there we are far from over. So can I just ask the respective member to look into the same exercise. What you find during the pandemic, you know, the high noon of the pandemic, that we need more support in terms of vaccinations, even testing as well. And all areas of burden, not only where, you know, the ethnic minorities and diverse community, everyone needs their support. So no one is safe, not everyone is safe there. So secondly, Chair, if I may recall, for your kind attention as well, I suggested that to invite Dr. David Atherton, who is the head of the GPs and service, well before, quite a few months ago. So I'd be grateful if there are any updates on these things. And I have the you know, the opportunity to work with him before. And he's a fine gentleman and frontline GPs, GP as well, and I'm sure we all will benefit from his experience. And third point I would like to mention as well, Chair, that central government can be shy away or maybe reluctant to release the money, but the fact is that the council tax we pay, that are local residents, the lion's share goes to the social care. Very few is going to the potholes or highways and other stuff, but social care. So we need, from this forum, I want to say that we need adult and mature and pragmatic solutions and conversation. It's not just the, you know, the you know, the rhetoric and we will fix it. Nobody has fixed it. It is going to a beyond our reach, and we will be, leaving any room for intervention if it goes beyond our means. So we have to act before it's too late. Thank you, Chair.
Do you take your point, Councillor Hussain? Very few characters. But down regarding Dr. David.
David Atherton is certainly keen on talking to people outside his world of health, being health, NHS health, and thinks that they've got a lot to offer. He's got a 3-year term as the chairman, and he's keen to do it. But as he'll admit himself, he's not a project manager; he's a GP, and he's very quickly the usual suspects who want a bit of money can flock to the honeypot if they're saying, well, I've got a bit of money to tell that. And I think I've tried to impress on him that he needs to speak to as wide a forum as possible. And as ever with the NHS, that's very difficult for them to do, but local government is a better place for that. And, I represent a rural area, and there's an organisation called the Farming Community Network, along with the Royal Agricultural Benevolent Institute, who help all sorts of people out there. They are currently attending every single one of the farming discussion groups. Because of the change in the basic payment system, things like the price of fertiliser going up and the price of wheat going through the roof, a lot of people don't know whether they should be planting crops. And their anxiety and mental health. So they're turning up to all the meetings to help people that if just want somebody to talk to and go through it, they're there. So there are, you get the usual suspects there who, oh, I've got this, I've done all of this with the, you know, the usual groups, but there are people who need specific help. I think if you can widen it out to local authority members, councillors, in particular the borough districts and the county councillors, I'm not going to knock the parish councillors, but the, there's an awful lot of them as well. But the and then just help. And it's not about pointing. Some of it's about pointing people in the direction of help. But some of it is about suggesting building a better model of keeping people healthy. You know, the NHS, and I can remember when Richard Draven was the leader, we used to talk about this a lot in donkey's years ago. And Alex Fox, the NHS could be prescribing leisure time far more than they are, and all right, it would help the borough, the leisure centres, but more importantly, it would help those people get back on their feet or lose weight or whatever it may be. So there's things like that that we can feed into the mix. And there is funding out there, but it's very difficult to find.
Thank you. Councillor McGarry.
Thank you, Chair. I've got a few questions and a few comments, if that's all right, Councillor Atkins. I too have many an opportunity to go into Silverdale, which is absolutely disgusting. So I think that the residents there have got a very proactive MP, and I hope something does get done about Wally's Crop Quarry, because it is absolutely disgusting, and it must be affecting the health and well-being of the local residents, because that smell runs far and wide. Yeah. I know you can't even stick your washing out without that smell and that stench sticking to the washing. It's absolutely despicable. So I know that Aaron Bell is really fighting the cause up there. And in terms of David Atherton, he's my GP. So I do think he's an excellent GP. And hopefully he'll be coming in to discuss the effects of COVID on the subscrutinies that we've had. Just a couple of questions with regard to the COVID rates at the moment. I know you didn't want to bore us with the statistics, but obviously we can see that the numbers are increasing yet again. And I think that there is a lot of, what can I say? What's the word I'm looking for? Confusion on guidelines. As it stands at the moment, I have my son off with COVID who attends Thomas Elaine's, and he has basically been told that until he shows two negative tests, then he cannot attend, but he can have virtual lessons. And I have a member of my, not a member of mine actually, it's my son's girlfriend who's a teacher, and she's basically been told, yeah, if you're feeling unwell, absolutely stay off. But if you still test positive, we need you in. So we're just spreading the virus that little bit further. And I don't think there's any guidelines there. And nobody knows what they're doing. There's so much confusion. So I'd like to understand what the County Council's guide is on COVID-19. That's my first question on COVID-19. But my second question is, you talk about the fourth injection and you talk about this being offered to the over 70s and the most vulnerable.
75.
Sorry, 75, so I do apologise. But at what age are we looking at for the most vulnerable? Are we looking at those that have disabilities, you know, and have obviously have prone to catching COVID through sort of COPD or something like that, and what is the age rate we are working on from that? And the reason I'll ask that question is because I had a text message. Now, I'm presuming it was for my daughter because she falls into the vulnerable category, yet when I rang up and said, who are you offering this fourth injection to, it was a total mistake. So I need to understand that. And then my last question is about the Ukrainian refugees and what are Staffordshire County Council helping those refugees that are going to be coming into Staffordshire as a whole, what the plan is to make sure that their well-being and their, you know, sort of health is being looked after with regard to allocating them GP spaces, etc. Over to you.
Cool, blimey. There's a lot of questions there. COVID, looking at what we were told at the meeting, COVID case rates have fallen significantly. Living with COVID plan was published on the 21st of February, and the updates said that from the 24th of February, which is the day Russia invaded Ukraine, legal requirements to isolate following a positive COVID-19 test were replaced with guidance to avoid others for at least 5 days, and two negative rapid COVID tests on consecutive days to resume normal activities. On the 1st of April, free public testing will be removed. Testing will continue in some high-risk settings, admission to hospital with respiratory illness, asymptomatic testing for health care staff and care home residents. There is a risk of resurgence of the virus, particularly if a new variant emerges. Ongoing precautions will be required at high-risk settings such as care homes. And there's ongoing activities continue to support prevention and management of outbreaks in high-risk settings, manage localised surges in cases if necessary, continue to support the vaccination programme, and provide public health advice to the public around sensible precautions to limit the spread of infection. That's all that I've got, or we were told at the meeting, is what's going on. The Ukraine, now then, this will be fun. I can tell you. I've had three people ask me about different things on the Ukraine situation. I can find it. We had an email as county councillors from Victoria Wilson, who is the, that should be an easier way of finding it. We had an email from her about supporting refugees.
financial donations, you all know that people have been raising money for the easy way it is to the Disasters Emergency Committee, donating essential supplies, encouraging to cash, welcoming refugees, and this is on the 17th, so things do change on a daily basis. There's the family scheme visa, there's a local sponsorship scheme for Ukraine so that you can sponsor somebody. The role of local authorities, at the time we were still awaiting further information and guidance. It's not anticipated. It'll be different to the Afghans and the Syrians resettlement scheme. There'll be something around them being evacuees. There've been some issues been raised with me about people losing the single person's council tax allowance. I understand that the government said on Friday that they wouldn't. So if somebody has a family and they won't lose the council tax, there will be money made available to local authorities to provide school places, and I presume they will be entitled to access to a GP as well. It's very much on a daily announcement by the Department of Levelling Up and Communities or whatever it is, changes its name requirements. So that's as far as I know. So it's it is an ever-changing situation.
I appreciate that, Councillor Ashton.
And then it will come back with an answer.
Okay. So can I just come back on that then, please, Chair?
Of course.
In terms of just going back on the COVID ratings, you didn't mention anything about the advice for teachers, because I know that just looking at our own school and the school where my son's girlfriend actually is a teacher, it seems to be that the governors are making the decision and not really looking at the guidance that you've just mentioned, because as it stands at the moment, she's also still testing positive as per today. But she's been told to go back into work tomorrow because she's not unwell. So I think I appreciate we've all got to live with it, absolutely, and we've got to try and stay away from people that are most vulnerable, but we're passing it on to kids and kids are taking it home. So that is my major concern, that the teaching staff are having to be governed by the governors, not necessarily Staffordshire County Council, which really concerns me.
Yeah, right, okay. I'll do the mantra I've been doing for about since 2004. Schools run schools. The county council does it.
Just before
that's the answer on the schools one, Chairman. It is very much up to the governors, and they should be following the advice of DfE and public health, which is a different matter. And the public health is, the living with COVID is going to be first February.
I'm honest, Councillor Atkins, I do need some kind of thinking here, because just to allow to each school or whatever, or governors, it needs to be.
That's the law.
Yeah, well, it's the law. No. Yes. Okay. You didn't term age range, I think Councillor Barry was mentioning regarding. I don't think you mentioned that.
I'll have to pass on that. The age range of the vulnerable. Certainly, from what you've seen in the press, it's over 75s are being called in, because that age group is particularly, from the stats that we've got, they were particularly initially susceptible to mortality. Then there is apparently somewhere along the line a new type of vaccination or treatment coming for those who weren't able to have the vaccination because of the effects it would have on them. And that's been rolled out. The age group of those that are vulnerable, I presume it is with respiratory illnesses rather than just being vulnerable. I'm presuming. I don't know. No, it's the clinical bit.
Could I also ask, Councillor Atkins, are you able to share that email that you've had from Victoria or not?
Yeah, I can share it. I shared it with my constituents. I have my fingers wrapped, actually, but yeah. I can share it.
Thank you.
All right. Councillor Hussain, got first. Leg. Just seeing your hand up.
Thank you, Chair. When you say Councillor Atkins says that the dates are falling, I would like to be cautiously optimistic on this. My biggest worry is that I think the Chair, the big elephant in the room is the testing. If, during the pandemic, what we had, test once, test twice, and test again. And I am really worried when you say that free testing is going to be end soon. So in that scenario, I would ask to the city councillor that people when they are struggling between the eating and heating and asking them to pay extra for the COVID and situations, I don't think that we are going towards the right directions. So is there any way that we should think about this issue, whether from our local authority budget or something, to think about to go ahead for the, or at least for the most vulnerable, that we need to keep this provision of free testing open for the foreseeable future. Otherwise, we will get the statistics. We will not get that real number. Because if the people reluctant to take the test because the money and others, it will give it a strain to their family budget, they will not bother to do the test. This is the reality. So I'd be grateful if we can kindly take this one to his forum, that this is a pressing issue in our community, and give us any reply and response. And I'm sure his positive intervention will make some difference.
I've got Councillor Legg.
Thank you. It was an answer to Sue. It's from age 12 to over 75 will be invited. I've just checked it on the website for you.
Get that then, thank you. Yeah. Councillor Grosvenor, then Councillor Walker.
Yeah, thanks. Not on COVID related, but comments on the presentation you gave. You mentioned about the difficult decisions consultation.
Yeah.
And you mentioned about the fact that they didn't want the public to be bored to death. I think it can be a tactic for large organisations to bore the public to death if they don't want results to a consultation that they don't want to read. So I would just suggest that's probably one of the reasons why that is there. In terms of the comments you made about decisions being made locally better than centrally, really great comments that, and I just encourage all members to bear those in mind if there's an upcoming review into local government restructuring. So that's a great argument to use against the unitary authorities. So I thank you for those comments. And you mentioned about social care changes. I'm actually encouraged, well, not encouraged, but I'm slightly less concerned about some of the input into social health care. Recently spoke to a number of large social health care providers, one of the largest in the country, NHA, who are involved in government committees and in lobbying government with regards to social care changes and the way in which social care will operate moving forward. So I'm more encouraged by the fact that the government are actually trying to listen to the professionals in the area and those organisations that are dealing with it on a day-to-day basis, rather than just implementing a solution which they think is a fit, but which on the ground doesn't. Like I say, speaking to some of the larger social healthcare providers recently, they are actively involved in talking to government. So I'm sort of more encouraged by that. Just a comment.
I think one of the things noticed in the reports that we had, they are. I think it's an interesting dilemma because those five topics. There were some people who would only respond if that was of an interest to them, you know, and removing excess skin after weight loss or having a breast augmentation after you've had a mastectomy. You know, they're very personal things. And the response rate was really low. And they did recognise that each one was at a different stage and they would have to tweak their approach a bit and to find out what people actually thought, and I think they'll probably end up saying they've got to carry on, you know, that's the... But reports of the findings 2019-2021, and the chairman was quite right, there are some seldom heard groups that we want to continue to develop networks with as we develop our proposals and models of care. And they are gypsy and traveller communities, ethnic minority communities, and carers. So there are three distinct groups that are very difficult to get into. And they continue to build those groups. And it's a bit like the, you know, as I said, David Atherton, he's got the usual suspects in the room, which is good. But, they, you know, there are others that are a bit, it's those that don't step forward that we need to get hold of. I mentioned the farming community. I'm sure Saeed would mention communities in Burton. And, you know, I'm certain others of us would be thinking of carers who are that busy caring. They haven't got time to do sort of response. And I've done one or two, really, you know, online. Online seems to help, actually, rather than travelling somewhere. But then that means that you've got to have a computer.
Thank you. I've got Councillor Walker.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just a couple of quick observations, really. I was just fascinated by the COVID cases falling, yet nationally they're suggesting they're rising. And then just going back to Councillor McGarry's point about work relating COVID, and I hear what you say about schools running, they're responsible for schools and running schools, but surely somewhere along the line this is going to be a failure of government, really, while we're in such a mess and COVID's going up again and not down, according to the national press.
It goes to what Saeed was on about, the free testing. If you test, you find it. If you don't, you don't. And the rise may be something to do with the weather or whatever. But when you look at all the figures, and I'm sure they'll be shared, one of the things that I like to get to the back of is the total deaths and the deaths from COVID, because sometimes it slips underneath and the death rate's actually lower. So unfortunately, as I've said 2 years ago, some people are going to die before the time, which means that the death rate drops below the normal. And it's tragic, you know, that's the sum total of 2 years ago. And as time goes on, they'll probably will have to live with COVID. It could be like the common cold. You know, we had a county council meeting in February, and a number of people said they ended up with COVID afterwards. But then they had a meeting on a week or so ago, and there'd be more people coughing and spluttering, and probably gone down with it. So if the disease is getting milder, then it'll be here all the time. But the concern from that is those that are vulnerable because of their health conditions. There are people still trapped at home because they can't be vaccinated, and they can't, their condition means that it will kill them. You know, they could have had cancer treatment, they could have had a variety of things wrong with them. And we can't just sort of say, I forget them. There's got to be something that we have to do to help, however small a group that is.
Can I just point out Councillor Hussain's point as well, was the fact that some people who, you know, through no fault of their own, you know, are struggling with money. And if they've got to pay for his test, they're not going to pay for them quite. Food on the table or tests, you know, that's the thing. And so I do, you know, I think we do need to really look at that seriously. I've got Councillor Shrine.
I've not got a question.
Your hand's up, though.
Is it? Ah.
All right. Okay, Councillor McGarry, have you still got your hand up, or is that...?
No, mine's a comment, if I may. I mean, I appreciate Councillor Atkins has just mentioned that, you know, he obviously looks at the death rate in terms of COVID-19. But I don't think also we should be looking at that. We should be looking at the knock-on effect of people not being able to access treatment. Obviously, most people know that I am in a funeral home myself, and my death rate has gone up by 360% based on last year's figures in quarter one alone. So, and that is a lot of young adults coming through the system that have clearly not had the treatment during COVID-19, and this has been the knock-on effect. So I don't think it's just COVID-19 that we should be looking at.
Yeah, I agree.
Councillor Bean.
Thank you, Chair. Mine's just a question for clarity. In terms of the withdrawing of free access to free testing, I'm making an assumption there that we're talking access to free PCR testing. I assume you can still order a pack of lateral flows from Royal Mail online or pick one up from a pharmacy with some evidence of... For example, I used to work at the NHS. If you turned up at the pharmacy with your card that says I'm an NHS employee, they present you with a pack of lateral flow tests, because a work obligation is that you would be safe and sensible. So if your employer, for example, a teacher, were to need to be safe and sensible, surely the employer has some obligation, if they're requiring their employees to test, to make the test available. Surely employers can access lateral flow tests to distribute to employees. No?
Lateral flow tests are not free to make the difference.
I think that's what Councillor Hussain was talking about, actually, and that's what I was...
Yeah, absolutely.
I was under the assumption that not just employer groups should have access to that.
Any more questions for Councillor Atkins?
Councillor Clark.
Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. So several years ago, the CCG made the decision in East Staffordshire to remove ear syringes from the GP practices. At the start of the pandemic, they then suspended this service, and during the pandemic, they removed this service from hospital access, apart from in a very specific band of cases. The solution that the CCG have then provided to patients is that rather than attending the hospital, you should instead seek advice from your GP, or go private. Obviously, the CCG have made this decision knowing full well that they previously cut the funding to actually offer this service to GP practices, meaning that a significant proportion of people affected by that will have to go private or suffer the effects loss of hearing or diminished hearing. Has the County Council scrutiny had an update on that or know anything about that? And linked to that question, about a year and a half ago, when I was still chair of this committee, Staffordshire County Council scrutiny panel were about to start a review into hearing and hearing loss and that service. I just wondered if you had an update on that or any conclusions from that. And then a follow-on question. Do you think you could give an update in regards to the GP access work review that the committee is doing at Staffordshire County Council, as well as giving us an update on what the state of the current work programme is for the scrutiny committee in terms of what reviews have recently been done, what ones are currently being done, and what ones are in scope to be done in the coming weeks and months?
Technical questions there. Over top. Yeah, I'm earning my money. The hearing loss, just going through all the last meetings, just reminding myself where we are. As far as I can remember, the CCG here funds it, but it's either the Moorlands or the Stoke one didn't. You can get, and that postcode lottery was the part of it that the health committee was looking at. And I can't see it in the work programme. Either pastoral or future state, it must have been in the previous year's work programme. I can't tell you what the outcome of that was because I wasn't on that scrutiny committee. Back then.
Well, maybe you could.
I can find that.
Find that out.
What was it? Yeah.
You can give us an update on what the current work programme is, as well as the GPX.
Oh, right, yeah. Previous. Yeah, I can. I'm sure Andrew could circulate the current work programme because it's in the health scrutiny documents.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, you know, I can't copy and paste it, but there's a long list of it. And coming up is. There's the Wallis Quarry update, transformation programme update. Oh, sorry, that was March, wait a minute. April, post-COVID lessons learned. So I'll take back what's been commented about the free lateral flow test, care sector update, and climate change and the NHS. And then there's a whole host of things coming up about technology and health and social care, impact of long COVID, Environment Day, impact of air pollution on health, workforce planning, health and care, and there's the acute trust performance update, obesity and diabetes, social prescribing, which is what I've been talking about in your talk, general practice access be updated in 6 months, so that should be coming up in June, and the NHS estate. And then there's a whole host of other things that have been suggested. Role of community hospitals, Health Watch annual report, going digital in health, children's dentistry, women's health strategy, and application funding for adult social care. So there's all loads of stuff that's coming along.
Thank you for that. I look forward as well to see the update and the register as we can read it in a bit more detail. It's probably worth noting to the committee that two of the reviews that the county are doing into GP access and also the lessons learned from COVID nicely aligns to the health reviews we've got as well.
Yeah.
So it might be helpful if you could send over some information in regards to both of those either to Andrea or myself and Sue, so we can bring those into the relevant scrutiny committees on our side and get a local perspective on them. Because after all, decisions are better made at local level.
Yeah. Well, certainly the 5th of July meeting had access to GP and noted the action complaints. So, and remember, we had a discussion about Section 106, but there's also the workforce as well. There's some problems with that. You can have a surgeon, but you won't have a doctor. So, you know, there's a bit of work to do about that. So it is all there in the workforce work programme 21-22.
Okay, if Councillor Leaf, if you could just share.
It's very difficult to copy.
Well, I'm sure you can do that, or Andrea can do that for sure, definitely.
Yes, Chairman.
Thank you very much for your report.
A pleasure.
Appreciate it. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 7. And this is where Mike comes in for the corporate plan performance report, quarter 3, isn't it? Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. As members will know, Dan normally presents this report, I'm stepping in for him this evening. We're in the greatest traditions of BAFTA, and Oscar's award is prepared in the script. The purpose of this report is to provide an update on progress at the end of the third quarter of the current financial year towards achieving community regeneration and environment and health and wellbeing priorities set out in the Council's corporate plan. There are 129 indicators in total for the 3 corporate priorities, and each target has been graded using a red, amber or green system. There's 112 that are green status, 1 that's an amber status, 9 red, 5 are not yet to be reported on, 2 have been cleared. Out of the total of 129 targets, 30 contribute to the community regeneration priority. Of these 30 targets, 23 are green, 1 is amber, 2 are red, and 4 are not yet due to be reported on. Out of the total of 129 targets, 22 contribute to the environment and health and well-being corporate priority. Of these 22 targets, 20 are green, 0 are amber, 1 is red, and 1 is third. Full performance information on all corporate indicators can be seen in Appendix 1. However, a summary of the percentage and number of performance indicators for each corporate priority and cabinet portfolio is shown in Table 2 at Paragraph 5.4. Table 3 at Paragraph 5.5 lists the targets that have been given red or amber status. An update has been provided for each target. Table 4 at Paragraph 5.6 lists the targets that have been deferred with an update provided for each target. Table 5 at Paragraph 5.7 lists the targets that have been deleted, again with an update provided. Overall, another positive report for the priorities of this committee. Chair.
So, yeah, Oscar. thank you, Mike. Any questions? Councillor Clark.
Thank you for the update, Mike. I have two questions. One in regard to CR21 and the improvements to the washrooms. When is Q4? We're in Q4 now, aren't we? Ends at the end of March. So when do we expect the washrooms work to begin, given that we've got about a week left of Q4? And in regards to CR22, which is the to hold the job fairs, how many job fairs have been held to date, and how many do we plan on holding during the final week of Q4 as well, in regards to that one?
Obviously, Councillor, I can't answer that, but we'll take those questions away to the relevant officers that are responsible for those targets.
Thank you.
Councillor. Is that Councillor Gary? Got your hand up. Sorry. Just do that all around everyone. Sorry. Okay. So, yeah. Thank you, Mike. All right. So we move to item number 8. Health scrutiny work programmes update. So, impact on health of and GP access.
So, in regards to GP access, not too much to update the scrutiny committee on so far from our last meeting, but we have a meeting on Monday evening where we go through that. We've also got a scope of paper as well. And I think we've also got a fair bit of background in regards to the Special County Council one as well. There's some more information that we've got from previous meetings, so we should have a more substantial update at the next scrutiny meeting.
Okay, thank you. And Councillor Gary.
Yeah, exactly the same as Councillor Clark. We've already done our scoping paper, so that's been agreed. We're looking to bring up to three GP practices, back to both scrutiny committees so that we can question on the various scrutinies that we're both doing. And once we've done that, then we can obviously move on to the CCG. We haven't got a meeting date in the diary as yet. Daniel's sorting that out. But yeah, that's where we're up to at the moment.
That's for the guy. Okay. Okay, item number 9. Future scrutiny review topics. Most of us, I should imagine nearly all of us. Oh, Councillor Sane, sorry.
So, Chair, I would like to suggest something for the future scrutiny.
Yes, indeed. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Especially what the residents are facing now, I would like to this committee to find out any scope to discuss or find out a way forward, how that we can help those who are struggling to make ends meet, I mean, rising cost of living. And especially I commend those volunteers, community groups, especially who are maintaining soup kitchens, food banks, and all this stuff. We want to hear their story as well, how they are coping and how they're helping who's living under the breadline in our society as well. We want to recognize their service, and as an authority if there is anywhere as councillors, if we can help them out to join to their journey as well. So I'm really looking forward to work with such a work program as well.
Okay, so do you want to lead that if you have a few councillors with you?
I relish to be led rather than leading, councillor.
Okay, Andrea's, I'm sure, got that down. So there is another, of course, topic that we should be doing. In response, of course, to Councillor Florence Dukes's motion that was given approval by Council. So I think we need to also do that as well. So my question is, I think we should also, all of us councillors, do that rather than just as a subgroup. I think it would be good if we all did it. Are we okay with that? Because I think it's important, and I think we, by starting off maybe at the next scrutiny, evening, I think we should involve Councillor Ray Faulkner, Officer Fred Atkins, also Burton Hope, people like that, who do all the, I suppose the outreach people as well, YMCA and so on. So I think we could maybe have them come in and, as topics as well. So is everyone okay with that?
I'll second it.
Yeah, I do think it should be done by us all rather than just a subgroup, because I think this is, at the end of the day, as on full council, it was agreed. So I think, as and quite rightly so, we should actually review it. We're all happy with that. Councillor McGarry. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Obviously, this motion was brought to light at full council, and we've all agreed to bring this to scrutiny, which is absolutely great that we're going to do that. I just think at the moment, with the two COVID scrutinies that we've got on the table, and the fact that we want to bring the GPs in front of all members as well, I think that's going to take up a little bit of time for the next scrutiny review. And obviously, myself and Councillor Clark need to bring our recommendations forward to this scrutiny. So is that something that possibly we could lay, not the next scrutiny, but the one after that, so that we can all be involved in something fresh and new rather than, diluting what should be on the table now? I'm not saying not do it, but I'm just saying don't dilute what's already there, what we need to get our teeth stuck into.
More of a passing comment. I absolutely agree, as full council, we've agreed that we're going to do this. However, in a few weeks' time, are the scrutiny committees themselves not being reorganised? And this scrutiny committee won't necessarily be these people in this room at the same time. Would it make more sense, as Councillor McGarry says, to push on as hard as physically possible with the ones that are ongoing, and the first review of the new scrutiny would be that, and it would be a full scrutiny review of that group? Just from a date and time and a continuity point of view, obviously, we don't know who's going to sit on which committees.
Yeah, no, I get that. I understand that. I have thought about that. That wasn't just not thought about. We have actually. I have just discussed that with Andrea. And so.
Chair, whatever we do, whatever change we do, don't change the chair.
Well, thank you very much for that. Much appreciated. But, let's just take it from Councillor. Sorry.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I take on all the points, and I take on the point that the scrutiny committees are going to change, but surely we could possibly put this in as a recommendation, whoever remains on the scrutiny, because yes, the effects of COVID and the GP access is extremely important, but also I recognise this as an extremely important issue that needs looking into, and surely we can put an extra scrutiny meeting in to look at this if needs be, because it wasn't a decision of full council. It is tragic circumstances, and I don't think it needs leaving. It needs to be examined as soon as we possibly can, if it means an extra meeting somewhere along the line.
Just one second, Councillor Legg, first of all, she's got her hand up. Sorry.
Thank you, Chair. What I was going to say, we did agree to bring it back to full council meeting. When is the next council meeting, please?
May 13th. Friday, May 13th.
Yeah, that is a bit soon, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the AGM. We wouldn't typically have this business on the AGM agenda.
It'll be the June meeting.
Okay, yeah, we're really going to have to decide how we're going to do this, aren't we?
I think so, yes, we are.
You know, potentially enormous topic here.
Yeah,
we're talking about talking to lots of people, lots of groups and so on. So really we need to decide, are we just going to do it on one specific meeting, or are we going to do it as a section over a series of, say, 5 meetings? To me, that would seem to be the best way of doing it, to ensure that we can get in to speak as many of these people, groups, etc. that we need.
That is my view as well. Councillor Hussain?
Thank you, Chair. I totally agree with the Madam Mayor as well as yourself. But also, we shouldn't forget just one element of the poverty in urban areas of Burton as well, that it is rather worrying the farmers' communities as well. £250 was the bag of fertilizer, now £1,250 as well. So in our scope paper, we should consider this one as well, like the rising cost of living, because they are also struggling as well. Chair.
I think what we'll do first, I think Councillor McCarron was right, we have got a lot on at the moment, and Councillor Beach, I take your point as well, we are going to be changing scrutinies and so on. So, we can't just leave this. We have to, you know, as a scrutiny, certainly as, if I'm Chair, I want to do the review. I take Councillor Ackroyd's point there. And I think it is, as I pointed out, there was 3 organisations that I was wanting to. So I think, yes, it is. It's not a case of just bringing this to the next council or the next council. We have to make sure that we do this right, to do my opinion. I'd like, so that's what I'm going to propose that we do, Councillor Clark.
Just as the scrutiny committee will be changing at the AGM on the 13th of May. So if we wanted to, with your permission, Chair, if you considered this, you could look to put in a meeting solely dedicated to look at that agenda item during April and get the bulk of the work done and discuss and bringing in those outside organisations, because the way forward could potentially be, we already know that we've got background to it from the original motion. We've got essentially an interim report that further clarifies points that the council has put together as well. That information could easily be circulated to members of the committee to pre-read, pre-question and see who we need to bring in, with the idea to then look towards the end of April or first week or so of May to have a separate scrutiny meeting solely dedicated to an agenda of that item, so that when the scrutiny meeting is then changed on the 13th, the bulk of the work would be done, and it would just be a case of the next scrutiny, or whoever, the next scrutiny that picked it up after May, to finalise and revise that, because I'm sure there'd be quite a lot of continuity from members here as well.
I understand what you're saying, but I think the practicalities of that are not there. I think if you're bringing in a group of organisations, unless you're going to set aside a day to it and get them coming in at different stages, you're not going to get them coming into one meeting, which is why I think, I would want to suppose over a
as short a period as possible. But you need some flexibility to allow us to get them to reach as many of these groups as possible.
And I understand what you're saying. I agree with Councillor Ackroyd. There's going to be a lot of information for us to take in as councillors. Whichever scrutiny committee it comes to, there is still going to be a heck of a lot. So there will be more than probably four organisations that I certainly would want to bring in, and I'm sure other councillors will suggest one or two others as well, actually. So I just think we just need time to do it right. If we don't do it right, then quite frankly, then it's a pointless exercise, really, in respect. So, you know, can't see any hands over there.
Chair, I just wonder if an approach might be with through yourself, Chair, to prepare a scoping paper that can be shared with members.
Okay. Yeah.
So that we can actually start this process. I'm listening to what all members are saying, and there's quite a few organisations that we want to speak to, and there'll be questions that we want to ask of those organisations. So I think our starting point is yourself as lead chair to write that scoping paper so that we can start moving forward on this subject.
Absolutely agree.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. Yeah. Okay. So just that. I'm going to take a show of hands here. So is that what we should do, yes? We're all happy with doing the review properly rather than quickly. That's all I'll say. Councillor Legg, you've just got your hand up, Councillor Legg, I take it.
I think they're not allowed to vote.
We can't vote.
Forget it. It's already been a long meeting, never mind. Correct. So thank you. So that's what we're going to do then. We'll put some ideas down for a scoping paper and so on with Mike, and then we will do this review properly or not at all. If I've got anything to do with it, we'll do it properly. Thank you, Councillor Ackroyd, for saying that as well. I agree. So that's one item. Was another. Regarding our waste review, the joint waste review with Value for Money, we did take it to LDL, and quite honestly, it wasn't received very well at all. So I know that Councillor Clark's committee yesterday has said they're going to review it or relook at it, and I think that's what we should do as well. You know, so and again, I want everyone to be involved in this, not just one or two. I just want as many people as possible to be involved with it. Hopefully, that's okay with everyone. And okay, so just would anyone else like to put a topic forward? I know we've already put quite a few forward there, but would anyone else like to do? Yeah. Okay, so no, right. We'll do what we've. Okay, so item number 10, public executive decision records. These usually ought to be noted, aren't they? So, I take it everyone's seen them.